ladies and gentlemen, I usually want to start this off with a nice, fun thing to say. And we did 20 minutes of this already once, but with no audio. So for you guys turning back in, thank you very much. I just want to say we lost a really good dude that I served with in 40 with. He was around the Seabees for a long time. He was kind of like a little brother that I'd talk shit with and, you know, give him a hard time. But he was a good guy, and he knew I was joking. And that's how we do it, you know. So I really like this guy a lot. Because you, if you know me, you know most people, if we don't like you, we're not going to joke around with you. We're just going to be like, this guy, I don't want to deal with
him. You don't exist.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just want to say, you know, we lost Jermaine Young. He was a good dude. He was in 40. He was a CB. He was an equipment operator. Badass guy. He was in gun truck number 4 with Dougie Newman's crew back in the day. And we're going to miss you, buddy. And, you know, we can't save everybody, unfortunately, because we can't bring people back. But let's keep the people here that are still here. It's hard to believe it, but you're loved. I know. I wake up and I have to remind myself every day. And I'm like, oh, you know what? The world doesn't hate me. Not everybody, at least, for the most part. So without further ado, we're going to reset this thing all over again. Thanks for coming down. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Patrick Ingers
and
Laura Sharp.
Laura Sharp is with Artists for Trauma, and Patrick Ingers is a former Navy CB that we were in battalion together, Naval Mobile Construction 3, which is called Better Than Best, but we've established in the first go-around that...
I don't know.
40 was better than best. So
that's right. We did establish that. That's right.
That was your intro. I thought you were in improv. What's up? You're supposed to yes and, man. What's up with
yes
that?
Yes and.
You forgot the first rule.
Rule of improv. Yeah.
Jesus. But anyways, so.
Once you're a CB, aren't you always a CB? Is that is that a thing?
Yeah. It's, you know, well, I mean, I would assume so. I mean, because it's part of a tribe that, you know. And the thing
I think it is,
a lot of people don't know what CBs are, and that's the thing. But we can talk about that later. Most people watching right now, if they're back again, thank you very much for tuning back in, are CBs, and they get it. But one thing that we don't know a lot about is Artists for Trauma, and we have Laura here to tell us a little bit about that. Hopefully a lot of it, actually.
Thank you, Joshua, for having me and Artists for Trauma on your show. And it's a real privilege and honor to be here with you and to be here with Patrick. I wanted to express my respects to Jermaine and other fellows who don't seem to transition well, and we lose them related to the challenges of integrating after, I consider, military combat life-altering trauma. Artists for Trauma is a 501c3 nonprofit that provides empowering, fun, and engaging arts and entertainment platforms, much like you're a comedian.
Right.
And you have shared...
On most days.
You have shared how you utilize, you know, the wit, sarcasm, funny colloquialisms, you know, to... process your trauma to get a release and to get laughter from other people, and how that exchange is osmotic and there is a healthy release in that and empowering. And so comedy, culinary arts, visual arts, photography, painting, sculpture, dance, wheelchair hip-hop.
I love it. You know, wheelchair hip-hop. I want to do
really
wheelchair
cool.
demolition derby.
You know what I mean? Hey, like you know what?
I want to help. I want to like build bumpers and stuff. And
check
like,
it out. No, check
that
this
is awesome.
Out, Joshua. And that's just how it starts.
Right.
Because if it
Have
isn't there,
hockey?
If it isn't there, yes. we create it ourselves.
That's awesome.
And that's inclusivity. If you can't do it like this, let's try it like this. Are you having a good time? And we help provide these mediums, and we get creative together. Just like you said, that would be a really fun
Wouldn't
thing
it be fun?
To do.
I mean,
I
have
it.
You ever watched handicapped ice hockey?
Yes.
Those guys are tougher than like regular ice hockey guys. They're like in these sleds and they're just like, I'm going to kill you, dude. That's it. And they're like, and chairs just beating the. It's the best.
Basketball's the same way. If you watch basketball.
Oh, yeah. They're like legit.
So true. There's one of our first brother and sister organizations that we've partnered with in Los Angeles is called Triumph Foundation. They have thousands and thousands of wheelchair athletes, and they get together for these wheelchair sports festivals. And Artists for Trauma does their healing arts component. We do graffiti pop-ups. We do different types of sculpting.
So you guys are responsible for my neighborhood. Graffiti pop-ups.
Oh, all right. We confess. We confess. And
those guys are more autistic than artistic, though. Have you seen some? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, go ahead.
You know, we're all a combination of all of the above in some degree or another, right?
Yeah.
And I just am excited to share that, you know, at Artists for Trauma, there's no right or wrong way of creating art. It's just an opportunity to get together, to play, to be creative. I'm excited for Patrick to share about the program that he's been sharing through Artists for Trauma. And he is representing as one of our ambassadors and as one of our advisors, and has been traveling to Operation Mend at UCLA. Operation Mend is an amazing nonprofit that is comprised of surgical and medical experts who reassemble men and women veterans returning from combat who have been exploded by landmines and need to be, you know, gently reassembled physically, right, mentally, and emotionally. And they have an arts program there, and Artists for Trauma helps supply many of their art supplies. So
is there a lot of veterans that are on that are helping, or is it civilians that are helping, or is it like just a mix, everybody? So
at Operation Mend?
Yeah, that are like on the staff.
I think a lot of them are civilians,
okay,
for the most part, but all the patients for Operation Mend are veterans.
Okay.
Or active duty.
All right.
But actually, they also work with some of the VA areas, because the veterans are processed,
okay,
through there, and then they come into the Operation Mend program.
I'm glad you said active duty as well, because that's one thing too, that while you're on active duty, we're on active duty, you know, that if something happens, you don't want to talk about it, man, because that's going to, you're like, I can't say this, man. I know I've seen a guy blow up, but you know, the thing is I can't talk about that right now because, you know, I'm not going to be able to go to Puerto Rico
or
Honduras or, you know, back to Iraq or wherever it is.
Yeah, even Iraq.
Because you don't want to be, you don't want to be sidelined. You know what I mean? And that was, and then I think that's what, it's like the soda bottle where it's just like, you know,
yes,
the more you put in there, the more you just shake it up and you go on these deployments and the more you're just going to sit and it's just going to fester. And then, you know, one day it's just, you know, you're going to open it up and it's going to go everywhere.
And that happens, I think, physically and mentally. Mentally, you know, if you have a lot of stress and for whatever reason you bring it up and you don't go on deployment,
right,
then you miss out on a promotion, you know, a good eval. And the same thing physically. If you hurt or break a leg, then you don't deploy.
Well,
or, you know, something, you know, you always feel like there's going to be something against you. Like
there's a weird thing, too, with active duty that we didn't go through. That's the meritorious program where, because when we went through, I mean, you had a couple people here and they got capped or reaped or all that, you know, and that's like, and that happens, and good for you. I mean, you know, I think you earned it. You know, he really did. But anyways, I'm just fucking kidding. But, you know, like, but the thing is that now I think it's also, hopefully that's taken into consideration where people's headspace is, that if they don't do these certain things, they're not going to be mapped or whatever the term is for.
Well, I'm sure, I think that was one of the things
right
too.
Now, but
if you were taken off sea duty and put on shore duty, you weren't available for those. You're no longer an option to get
capped. Because the 105 status is gone. The only shore duties that you were allowed to get promoted like that is a recruiter and RDC.
Yeah, which
those are REAP programs. Yeah. So recruiting or, you know, which is a different total incentive for the Navy.
I feel like they changed that like in 16 or 17 where like a shore command gets like one.
Happened. That's like part of the whole thing now. Yeah. It's part of the process. That's why the advancement numbers are like so far down. But I mean, instead of going in the weeds on that, I mean, that's just, I just want to say that I hope somebody takes a look at that, where that might be, where people are kind of holding things in a little bit more because they don't want to recognize, they don't want to be annotated in their career record and all that other stuff, you know. So I'm going to take 2 seconds to say this. For you guys that are separating, make sure you separate your mental health from your regular stuff and make copies of that. And that goes to a whole nother place when you go to the VSO. Trust me, you want to have both. I mean, have all your stuff here and then your mental health extra here. Just, you know, and one more thing, too. One side, if you are...
Don't double side that.
No. every piece of paper in your record, because it's going to be some guy who doesn't want to be there, or gal, and they don't want to freaking copy and everything. So they're just going to be like, whatever. So one side, everything. Anyways, back to what we're talking about. Their PSA is over with.
It's all related, you know, and PSAs are important. And I'm not a veteran. I'm not in the military, but I can recognize that what you're sharing is helpful information from, like, inside information, if you will, because you know the way the mechanisms work in that bureaucracy, and to share that with your audience, for those who don't know, is, you know, powerful, valuable information. One of the other organizations, veteran organizations that we work with, that we're blessed to work with, is the Long Beach VA, and we work with the spinal cord injury community there, and again through their wheelchair sports festivals, and we do their pop-up art workshops. We also worked with the West LA VA. And in the military community and in the civilian community, in the medical community and just across the board, I think it's such a blessing to see that the universe is opening up to the value of the arts on recovery. Many of our friends who are quadriplegics are working actors.
Right.
They are representatives for disability in Washington, D.C. I have very close friends who are global influencers on fashion. In 2014, you know, little old me with Artists for Trauma, we had a fashion show in partnership with Macy's in Woodland Hills with 18 adult trauma survivors.
Wow.
18 that we styled and dressed. I put in a catwalk, and we were at Warner Park with the Valley Cultural Center and with many of our partners, Sharp Interior Systems. And it's just a collaboration and community coming together. And you might agree that we have our greatest impact when we work together, because nobody can do this alone.
Well, that's what I always loved saying, and my buddy, was one of the last things he said on active duty. Do you know Martin Villalpando?
I don't.
He was like, there's no one of us better than all of us. And I was like, and that was like words of wisdom. He left that behind for, you know, his troops when he retired out of ACB-1, you know. And,
it's true when you're in and when you're out.
That's the thing too. I love about coming through that. And when you look back and you're like, man, you know, you really realize that sometimes that ego's bullshit. You know, you got to set that aside. And it's just like, you know, it's hard to ask for help, but we all need it from time to time.
And I think we all need to learn when to set that aside.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know,
which, you know, ego is valuable and it's important. A part of being a human being, but when that is in rampant,
the difference
out of control,
between confidence and arrogance,
yes,
is a big, big thing. You know, and that's you know, you got to be confident in what you're going to do, but you can't be like over, you know, arrogant. We're like, this is how it is. It's how it was.
How
it always will be. Like, dude, yeah, that doesn't work anymore. Yeah. That's not what it was like when I was in. Ha ha ha. I was like, well, yeah, because that. This isn't.
That was 30
1996. This isn't 1966. This is 2020. Holy Jesus.
So I know. I wrote 2020 just the other day, and it just, for some, I don't know why, it was different than when it went from 97 to 98 or anything like that. Just, I don't know. It was different writing 2020.
This is blah, 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 2020.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's
this is a new year and a new decade, and I like the connection to the next roaring 20s, you know?
Yeah.
And so, there's, you know, one of the things that you were talking about before, Josh, and I was wondering if you wouldn't restate it, since we went through that period of our show was mute, was when you were talking about how you used comedy for yourself. And that's such a powerful platform and tool.
So, no, and I think, and a lot of people don't consider stand-up comedy or comedy in general as an art. But realistically, I mean, that's a lot of thought process that goes in. There's a lot of writing that goes in. There's a lot of trial and error. There's so much trial and error in comedy. I mean, before you hear a joke, like on a special, that probably been said at least 300 times somewhere else. You know what I mean? That's probably, you know, been done over and over and over again.
Three
so these
words.
Comics, though, so like comics will do like 5-6 shows a night. You know what I mean? They'll go from one place to the next place, the next place, the next place. And that's it. So they'll rework a joke, you know, and that's, and for me personally, I was able to heal more through comedy. Like, time plus, I think it was Chaplin that said, maybe he was Richard Pryor, I don't know, but they're both right, is that time plus tragedy equals comedy. You know what I'm saying? I think you're the person, my point of view on that is you're the person to dictate the time, you know, on that, you know, so that's how I was able to cope, you know, and coming here and then thank you to the Comedy Store where we're at. We haven't been thrown out for a long time, been thrown out a couple times, but we're still here. We're here again, I should say. But thanks to this place really saved my life. You know what I mean? So much so that when I retired from the Navy, I did my retirement ceremony. It was a roast retirement ceremony in the original room or main room here at the Comedy Store. But that's the thing, like painting words, that's my brush, you know what I mean? And yes. Paint, you know, so. And that's where I think it's really cool with what you're doing with the Artists for Trauma, because like you have different outlets. You guys have like all kinds of different outlets. And
like what you said, that, you know, comedy is your canvas. What we like to think is that we help provide all these different types of artistic canvases: photography, film, sculpture, dance, music, culinary arts, comedy. You know, through our network. And for example, this opportunity to engage with you today, yeah, cultivate relationship with you, honor the amazing you. And Patrick is going to share more of what his canvas has been, right? Because it's not the same thing, doesn't work for everybody. And one of the things that is really important in our language at Artists for Trauma is that there's no right or wrong way. People, you will find your way to what brings you joy or laughter, where you can get that release. I mean, we all know how powerful laughter and music is. Laughter is like such an incredible release. It's like a good cry, you know, because it just breaks that grip.
I think
grip.
With the comics, stand-up, like Chappelle, really is such a groundbreaking person right now, because it's like it's the last form of honesty, you know, it's the last form of truth. You're making it palatable, and it's like it's funny until you realize the comic's serious. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, whoa, yes, he is talking about that. You know what I mean? Cosby did rape people. Oh my god. You know, like there's things that's like, oh, whoa, they're serious about this stuff, you know.
Which that is one platform that I hope doesn't go down like that PC realm, you right. know, where comics keep it real, but they keep it light and funny. And
well, there's a lot of places where there are try to do that, whatever, you know what I mean. Yeah. And the thing is I think it's like that you have just as much opportunity to say something and you not like it, or as you can to have somebody say shut the fuck up, you know what I mean, because you don't want to hear it. But the thing is there's time and place. So here at the store, you know, if you know Pryor, I'll quote more comics. Pryor says, yo, say whatever you want. You better be fucking funny. You know, so that's the thing. And it's true. So anyways, back to you guys. I'm sorry. I'm hogging the ball.
Hey, no worries. As a civilian who has the blessed opportunity to often work with veterans like Patrick and now with you, Joshua, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to do a shout out to AJ up in Washington. And that's a gentleman that Patrick and I have been speaking with. And he had gone through one of our partners' programs. And he is now, and he does wood sculpting.
Oh, cool. Right on.
And my grandfather was an inventor and also an artist in wood sculpting, as well as an industrial electrician. And when he passed away, I have all of his hand wood carving tools. I mean, they're like sacred. So I've been holding them for just the right person. And AJ has appeared, and I'm going to donate those to him in Washington.
As a craftsman myself, that's amazing, because like Harbrand, there's like tools, like certain companies from where I'm from in Fremont, Ohio, that there's a, you know, Grandpa Bryant worked at a place, you know, my dad and his brother, I think, have the tools now. But that's, you know, one of those things that's like really sacred. Because back that era, like you said, your father used his tools?
Grandfather.
Grandfather, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So your grandfather's tools. And the thing is with that, that's the difference between the stuff you get at Sears and this other stuff. Those tools were meant to last forever.
And all the soul that's in them. Yeah. And the soul that's in this gentleman, AJ, and how he wants to pay it forward as well and to help support other veteran agencies in his local area in Washington. So Patrick and I have been chatting about, you know, how we can help support AJ. I've been actively engaging with AJ on the phone. So he knows that this gift is coming and he's asked for us to hold off while he gets a couple of his ducks in a row.
Right.
But I just wanted to say hey to him, you know, and hey to all the veterans out there, that if there's any way that Artists for Trauma can be of service to you, to please reach out to us at artistfortrauma.org. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we have a website, artistfortrauma.org.
Artists for Trauma, and that's what you sent me. It's cool, too, because, like, the website, the website actually just, it's for what we call a SMEAC. You know, situation, mission, execution, administration, command, that kind of stuff. You know, for SMEACs, it's just like we have everything broken down. So this is what's going on. This is what we need to do. This is how we're going to do it. And it's kind of cool because your website actually says, this is what this is. This is how we do things. This is where it's almost, it's like almost for us in a SMEAC format.
Dry,
it's very, and the best part too is there's not, I always look at unnecessary words. You know, so it's not too wordy. It's like a sentence here, sentence, two sentence, you know, and then that's it. Instead of like a paragraph on, yeah, and the reason why we do seagulls is because one time I woke up and I saw seagulls and I felt so good about myself and I wanted to get in touch with my inner child because I was like, ah! And I just felt like I was soaring in the air with these seagulls and I was just like, and you know what I mean? And then like Tuesday, Johnny said he saw a seagull and next thing you know, they're talking about pigeons, but I don't want to talk about pigeons. I want to talk about seagulls. You know, so it's like, it's not over wordy. It's like specific to this is what it means. And I think that's really cool that you
do that. Thank you. And we've been, you know, I may have shared with you before, we're 8 years young, 8 years old. And that has been a process of really honing that down. And, you know, again, we've had the blessing of, we don't profess to have invented the wheel.
Right.
That, you know, hey, the value of healing through art. But we are grateful to be participating on this side of my life-altering trauma and those who are in our organization and our partners to be participating in the community and paying it forward.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, do you mind revisiting what happened to you? Because we did it when we didn't have sound, you know, so like you went through some Navy SEAL shit, basically, you know, that, yeah.
Which is why I relate to military trauma in my own civilian way, because there don't seem to be too many people who have had trauma and that I've had, unless you're in the military. So my family and I, it was Memorial Weekend, 2008. And we were traveling to Catalina Island for a family holiday.
Not the Catalina wine mixer. Bam!
Boom. And there were six of us in the helicopter, and my husband and some other family members were in the boats. And so we do some boating over on the west end. It's camping and boating on the west end. And it's a 14-minute flight. And 9 minutes into the flight, the engine broke, and there was a pop.
Okay.
I didn't remember anything after that, except that I was told learned that the pilot auto-rotated down and did everything he could do to not hit any structures or any people because it was a holiday weekend.
Right.
And he didn't. And he avoided two converging power lines. So while we did explode on impact and completely decimated the entire helicopter, and three people burned alive and lost their lives and their families on that day, and three of us survived. So it's amazing that any of us survived. I am a completely re-landscaped individual. I'm super blessed. Under my hood, I have an entirely different terrain, and I have been blessed to be able to use all the different tools to get around.
Yeah.
Wheelchair, walker, and I still use those tools today, and I'm super grateful for those.
Well, if you wouldn't have said, you know, this, like, I wouldn't have really known. You know what I mean? Just meeting you, just talking to you, like, when I first met you here, like, I didn't know that, you know, I know this is a program, but I didn't know if it was because you, out of the kindness of your heart, or something happened. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah.
And I know to look at me today, it's like unfathomable.
Right.
It's a hard word to say. Unfathomable. Indubitably.
Indubitably.
To imagine that this could happen. But it's amazing what human beings can survive. So many of our veterans represent that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what the medical community can do. So I had 43 fractures, burns over 40% of my lower body. I have a partial amputation on my left foot. My left eye was hanging out of my head, and they rebuilt the entire orbit. A really intense traumatic brain injury. And I don't know, it's, you know, maybe a couple other things, but, you know, my liver cut in half, your body cut in half. And it's just amazing the blessings that have come out of it.
And we talk about trauma. I mean, it's not just your trauma, but your family also.
Exactly.
Had their trauma from it.
That's right.
It
happens to the entire family. That's exactly right. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that is critically important that as an individual, that I am not just saying that trauma happened to me. And thank you, Patrick, because that is something at Artists for Trauma that we try to help share and educate, or at least bring that linkage together, that trauma happens to the entire family.
Right.
And it's a chain reaction through the whole community. We know that is the impact of war.
Well, that's like, I was thinking about this, Vladimir Konstantinov was like one of my favorite hockey players. And like right after the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup, there was this wreck, you know, and then he was forever paralyzed. And I just look, and they won the cup back to back, right? So they put him out on the ice, and everybody, and he's just like, he doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't know what's going on. And you see his wife every once in a while when they show footage, and it's like, the shit this woman goes through on a day-to-day basis, you know what I mean? It's just like, wow, you know. And that's the thing, too, where a lot of people don't realize when there's a traumatic event that happens to an individual, everybody that's, you know, everything encompassing with that person is, you know, is fucked up. There's something they need some help with, you know. And so it's not just the individual going through the trauma. And a lot of us that come back, the wives and the kids, they experience that. That's why, like, a lot of... I think that's honestly why, you know, for example, my father, I think his kid, you know, got beat as children, you know, because they're still living World War II. You know what I mean? And that shit's just kind of replaying, and then the alcoholism and the violence and all that. And that's the release, you know, is through that barbarianism basically coming back out.
Because they secondary trauma.
Yeah. And the thing is
right.
Coming back to, like, you know, for me it's comedy, and for a lot of other people it's somebody else. Then that's why Artists for Trauma, and I keep pointing at the thing, is like, that's why the cool thing about that is it gives somebody else a chance to, like, have another release on, hey, this is the direction, this is something else, this is where I get the shit out, instead of, like, it balling up inside.
Well, one of the cool things about you is you recognize that early, before you retired.
Yeah.
You know, you recognize that a couple years, like, what, 6 years before you transitioned out of the military? 8 years?
About what? The problem?
The comedy.
Oh, yeah. No, I was very fortunate. I was in a very, very dark place. You know, we got back. One of my recruits hit an ID. And it's crazy because this is like the same team, the dude that just, you know, took his life. You know what I mean? But one of my recruits hit an ID. And I'm in the same battalion as Cat, right? And I'm on road repair, so we go out and we go fix these roads. And he lost a couple toes, the back of his calf, and there's another cat in there. So it's Gallagher and Cox, two awesome, good dudes. You know, like I said, one, I talked to his mom. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, and that really messed with me. And there's also Marines that came in and out of my steel shop in Fallujah. And if you know, if you knew me or you guys are watching, you know, I had the shop, and everybody was welcome. And it wasn't like I'm going to say no right now, but come back later. I would never turn anybody away, you know, permanently. But I was like, you know, come back in like 4 or 5 hours. We got shit going on. And so I had so many Marines that came in and out of that shop, mostly Marines, a couple Army guys here and there. But anyways, I'm blabbing too much. But well, I'd have all these guys come and go. And then it'd be like somebody just shot the shit with the 7-Eleven, died. You know what I mean? Because it's just like this. I was just talking to him 2 days ago, and he got hit. They hit an IED out in like on Uranium or on a main supply road in the middle of somewhere. So that really messed with me. And if you know me and you know how I am, you've deployed with me, I'll take everybody's I will make you laugh. I don't give a shit what's going on in your life. We're going to have fun. You know what I mean? And I'm going to bawl, and I just feel like I'm going to just try to absorb as much as I can. But the thing is I didn't have a place to let that go. You know what I mean? Like, the hardest, most traumatic thing, I'm going to make you fucking laugh. That's my mission. You know, and I always felt that before I even did stand-up. And then I was like, oh, wow, there's a place you can do that. And it's, you know, the thing here says you have 3 minutes to be yourself. It doesn't say be funny. Be you.
Be you.
You know, and that's what I love about the store. And but anyways, that's where it really hit me hard. And that's what I love about, you know, saying, you were saying that's how I identified with it. But
well, it's a lot of people don't recognize that until they're already separated.
I was about to blow my fucking brains out.
You know, they're already separated, and now they're looking for an outlet or something or an organization or a person, something to assist them with whatever problems they're having, right?
Right.
And we're talking about the spouses and children as well. There's a lot of organizations out there for the veteran, but not allowed for the spouse themselves.
Right.
And that's the family, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
And I started a blog called Operation Civilian, and it started off with an outlet for me to write about my experiencing transitioning from the military. But it's not only that. It's I'm trying to get writers to come in that are veterans or active duty and spouses to write about their experiences, to share it with the community, the veteran community, you know? And I think that's important. And it's not just 5 tips to succeed as a veteran, you know? Tip 1, get an education. It's more of my experiences, my education experiences, when I got my master's degree getting out, my experiences searching for my passion, which right now is writing and acting. I started taking acting classes like 2 years ago, and I've really enjoyed it. Am I going to be a big-time actor? Who knows? But I enjoy doing it's the process, right?
Right.
And doing the website has made me realize that I enjoy writing a lot.
Well, the thing
he's
is, too,
he's a very good writer.
Since, you know, since we kind of, like, we lost the audio, we didn't, you know, your dump book, all that stuff got dumped, so nobody knows what. So, yeah, your website, so, like, yeah, go into that real quick, man.
Yeah, so the website, again, is operationcivilian.com or .org. You can go to either one. And I probably, I don't know how many posts I have on there, like 6 or 7 posts probably by now. And the first one, I think, was about my book. I think my dumping ground of thoughts, which in the military, and this is how it originated. In the military, we always have our green books where we write our word of the day, the things we have to do. Yeah. Josh got one right there.
I still.
It's waterproof. His is. That's great.
I still have
an actual green book.
Yeah.
I still use these for, like, sometimes I have jokes or something. I found it the other day, and I'm like, oh shit, because I actually use different ones still. This is like
I have different ones for different purposes, right? So when I was in the military, I had my green book. So I had the one from the word of the day for my troops, for myself, but then I needed one for me. So I started writing my thoughts in there, but they're lined, they're very structured, because I was in the military, I got used to writing bullet points, you know. So it was
right.
I feel sad. I don't know, whatever it may have been. I don't know. But when I transitioned from the military, I found some of those, and I was like, this isn't really working for me. So I got it's leather bound, it's blank pages, there's no lines, and all I do is I write thoughts. So if I can't sleep at night, which happens a lot, and it happens a lot with a lot of us, I write those thoughts down, and then they disappear from my head for the night, all right? And it's not just words, it's pictures. Like, one of them, I have a story of in Iraq driving into a city, or not a city, a town, and I see this little kid with a gun, right? And I have this dream all the time. But in my logbook, it's just a couple words and then like a picture of a Humvee and then like a kid holding a gun. And I'm not a good artist, but it's something to get it out of my mind. So that's my logbook. You know, write these down.
Which you call your dump book.
My dump book. My dumping ground for thoughts.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I thought was a great name. And it makes it so relatable and accessible. It's not a journal where, you know, someone's going to be checking your journal. It has to be exacting. I love that. That dumping ground for your thoughts and your doodles and all that sort of thing. So this is something that Patrick had shared with me, and that I said, Patrick, I encourage you. This is so fantastic. It's something that's easy to do, but it's so powerful because each person's journey is different.
It's different.
But yeah. It's a simple thing that you could go to. There's no analyzing, right? Artists for Trauma will provide you a beautiful leather dumping ground book and will supply gorgeous markers or pens or brushes, watercolors, whatever it is that might speak to you.
Everything to draw dicks.
Express yourself.
That's
right?
How we do with the lifer pads. That's what it was all about. But you have the tools so people can let it out.
We have the tools, but the concept came from a fellow. And it came from Patrick, another veteran.
Right.
And, you know, so one of the things that I, as an individual, an artist for trauma, like to do is, hey, this is a fantastic idea. We would love to empower you to represent veterans. And so in his spare time traveling from San Diego to Los Angeles and that sort of thing, you know, he represents a tool that worked for him, and we can help support that.
That's awesome.
And one of the things, you know, not just capture the veteran, but capture the person on active duty. So you know how we get boxes on deployment that have socks or
right.
whatever in them, right? Rippets, who knows?
Don't need to send any of that shit. We got plenty of it.
But send an art box
that gives me PTSD
right? Get a little shake from that.
Put it in the microwave,
Patrick,
so you can really feel
Patrick,
like
I'm thank you for bringing that up, because absolutely through your leadership, we wanted to announce that we would love to, you know, coordinate or collaborate with the right distributor to help get these to active duty men and women. And through our partnership with Smart Art Box, they are in-kind art supply sponsor in a very significant way. Fantastic, best of the best art supplies of all, you know, different mediums that we could provide to active duty service people. Yeah.
So that will be our goal, is to get boxes out to people onto deployment.
That's awesome.
So they can...
And it's
unleash
like
those inner thoughts, you know, which, before they collect.
Yeah, because we all do like baby wipes, but come on, it's usually that's all you get. It's just like, that's cool, you know. But it feels good to get something from somewhere. But it's cool to get something that's actually useful.
Yeah.
No offense, we appreciate it. Don't get me wrong.
No,
but
there's a lot of things.
Every
that I've
veteran
got.
Has like, this isn't 1974. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And it just brings up the thought, you know, I brought up when we were muted earlier, the letter home when you're on deployment.
Yeah.
And I don't know if everybody on ships does this, but on the ground in Iraq, when you leave the gate, you don't know if you're coming back through the gate.
Nah.
It could be your last one. So I would write a letter home, usually before I knew I was leaving, saying, hey, this is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling, and I love you guys, and that was like my last letter home, and I would always have that put somewhere. And so when they cleaned out my room, they would find this letter.
Right.
You know?
That was powerful.
What I did was, because I never wanted to revisit that, I would do one before I left. All together. I wouldn't say what I was doing, where I was going. Matter of fact, my grandma, O'Brien, didn't even know I was in Iraq.
Yeah.
You know, she thought I was in, because I was in Guam. And then I went from Guam to Iraq. Bobby Moon
That's
was
a
like,
change.
Hey, Obi, how do you feel about coming to Iraq? I'm like, do you care how I feel? No. See you in 2 weeks. You know, and that's basically what happened. So next thing you know, I go from Guam to there. But for my grandma, I was like, look, my mailing address is going to change a little bit. Just send it to the same one already, because I'm going to be in Saipan, which is just an island right off Guam. So she just thought it was there. And I remember one time we were taking incoming. You know, it's coming into camp, and it was like, and River City is when everything gets shut down. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, River City, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows what's up with that. That means all communications go down. But I heard it, and I knew the next thing. I was actually on the phone to my grandma O'Brien. And when that happened, And I was just like, hey, Grandma, Joey just blew up a generator. Gotta go. Love you. Bye. Because I knew they're going to shut everything down in like a couple
minutes.
It's
over. It's closed down after that. Yeah.
Good time.
But I think those are stories we always told our, you know, we tell our loved ones. I mean, they see something on the news and you're like, no, it's not that bad. It's.
Yeah.
I've never seen a mortar, you know?
Dude.
You know, or, you know, whatever it was. We never told the whole truth. And
mortars is what told. Yeah, that's like, yeah, no, we're good. We're good. And then I did have somebody that wrote home. It's like, I was in this house and like there was a IED that went off. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Yeah, you just made your mom worry.
Yeah.
You know, and then next thing you know, you do get hit by an IED, Gallagher. You know, so like, you know, and then you know, I love you, dude. But that's why. Yeah, then that happens. And it's like, dude, don't jinx yourself, brother. You know.
Yeah, that's one too, for sure.
But.
Yeah.
Let's see, where are we at? Because here's the thing, like the Store Horseman, it's a podcast that comes on after us here. We'll give them a shout out. But they got somebody coming in, and so we'll wrap in about 15 minutes. Okay. You know what I mean? So that way we can still get out and get them enough time to get in and all that other stuff. Because I've seen a couple of them walking in and out. So I know whatever they're doing today, because that's why they have. That's why we did this a little bit earlier. And thanks for coming down, because usually we do this 6 to 8, and then we did it 5 to 7 today. Or 5:30 to 7 today, because no audio, but shit happens. Anyway.
It works well for me anyways. Coming up from San Diego, it doesn't matter. Dude.
And it's Friday, so you're going to spend 5 hours on the road.
Yeah,
on the
I'm
way
not
home
getting
anyway.
Back anytime soon.
No. You might as well just walk on top of cars the way out there, you know?
Yeah.
So, since we're going to start winding down, what else, like, so you're saying, so to kind of like catch everybody up that just showed up, is you have for artists for trauma, go to the website, check it out. It's under at Artists for Trauma. It's under Everything Artists for Trauma. But you have a lot of things that help people out. And the cool thing is that you've expressed a few times on and off of it when we were being recorded is that if you don't have it, you create it. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So, like, if there's, like, something else that you'd like to add, like, I don't know. If you guys want somebody to show people how to podcast to be able to get that, let me know. I'll come to I Have No Problem. And because I produce the Comedy Stores podcast. I do mine here and all that other stuff. And then, like, you know, and maybe I could point out, like, hey, this is some good gear. There's a lot of free software. I mean, the hardware is different. You're going to want to get microphones and all that.
I have a gal that I met the other day. With part of one of my fashion partners, Curatable, Stephanie Thomas and Angela Rockwood, and they're global influencers and inclusivity in the fashion world. And one of the gals there is a comedian. She's a young gal,
okay.
Young Hispanic gal, and she does a podcast or.
Every podcast has a podcast. It's part of the podcast.
It's called Rolling with My Homies.
Okay. Right.
And so I would like to take you up on that.
Yeah.
And you know, even just the little bit that we can do to help support another person when they are reinventing themselves, because really it's up to the individual.
Right.
We are a catalyst, and we hope to be able to provide. As much that you allow us to help you empower yourself and reinvent yourself. So thank you for offering to be of support there. I would just like to add one last thing that Artists for Trauma in our partnership with the National Inpatient Rehabilitation Hospital partner, we are going to be going into Scottsdale and Honor Health Rehabilitation Hospital, and in the near term to New Jersey to Kessler Rehabilitation Institute, which is where...
Oh, it's Biloxi, right? You said Kessler?
Kessler.
Oh, Kessler. Mm-hmm. I thought I was in Kessler.
No.
Biloxi.
No. Yeah, no. Kessler Rehabilitation Hospital and Institute in New Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
Next and week,
That's where Christopher Reeve did his recovery. So they are an amazing organization, a group of people, so dynamic. And so we'd just like to do a shout out to all you artists out there, no matter what your medium. If you would like to be involved in the Artists for Trauma art installations in these various hospitals and the art workshops that we are slating for the next 1 to 3 years, please contact us at info@artistfortrauma.org. And you can visit our website, artistfortrauma.org. We're on Instagram and Twitter. And we love you, Joshua, Brian, and Patrick.
Every time you say you love me and then you say Joshua like I'm in trouble like my mom. That nobody like uses my full name. Like, and I'm like, we love you, Joshua. I'm like, I love you too.
He's all radar.
Wait, what did I do? Here's the thing too, is especially as far as being an artist or being, you know, and trauma. Anything.
And you don't have to be an artist.
Well, the thing is too, is like whether you're artists. Traumatic or.
We are all artists.
If you've ever had like something traumatic happen in your life or something like that, or it's just like being an addict. Like you have to want to get help to get help. You know what I mean? You have to identify that, hey, I got a problem. Or it's like, maybe it's not a problem, but it's like something that I could fix. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've found the things that hurt me the most, I mean, are still always going to be there. But the thing is if I identify them and I try to help other people with the same shit, it helps me out. So that's why I think it's cool, too, is if you do have problems and you're having trouble admitting it, be around people that have similar, you know, things where they are trying to get some help. Be a volunteer around some people that, you know, that are, you know, going through some shit. You'd be like, you know what? You're not alone in this, because that's one of the biggest things, especially being separated from the military, because you're just like, it's a whole lifestyle. It's gone. When the phone stops ringing, you're just like, what the fuck? You know, you feel useless. It's just like, you know, I had this thing where everybody called me 24/7. And
you have to find purpose for yourself.
Right. And I can't say thank you enough to a lot of the CBs that still, like, I did the, I was a guest speaker at the CB Ball last year in Wainimi. Thank you. And then I'm going to be the March 14th. Get your CB Ball tickets for China Lake because I'm going to be the MC. But, you know, so it's just staying in the community. That's a big thing. And
Josh.
Not Ua. Yeah.
We're going to put you front and center of an Artist for Trauma event.
Well, let me know. Yeah, I'll MC whatever. I love doing that. That's my thing. Basically, my biggest way of paying bills is my disability. But this is like doing whatever I can to help vets. That's why I feel like I'm earning, even though it's like I'm supposed to get this because this shit's fucked up with me. But I still feel that that's the best way to still feel like I'm earning my keep. You know, and it's just, you know, it keeps me sane. It keeps me alive. You know.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I started Operation Civilian was. One, you said the community, right? Keep it rolling, keep it growing.
Yeah.
And not just with vets, but their families. I want their families involved with our it's all about the transition, a positive, effective.
Right. The dependents out there. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, transition, right? I mean,
no, but for real, those are the people that are going through the most, you know.
Yeah. And it's not help, it's assistance. You know, some of us just need that push or that networking to get us over that hill.
Right. Then, you know, it's
camaraderie. Yeah. And you can share as little or as much that you feel comfortable with. And your information and your share is respected and it's private information.
The longer people are in, and, you know, going back to the whole, like, camaraderie thing we're talking about, the longer people are in, the more people are together. But also the tighter people get because of the messes. You know what I mean? Like, when we call messes or different organizations or whatever, ward rooms, and that kind of thing, because you are actually you're integrating more and more with each individual because night and day. Like, I remember when we were at the first class mess, you know, and like we were all congregated in Okinawa. Like, we had this, like, we're all sitting around these tables. Some people were smoking cigars.
That's our family.
And we had shit we had to deal with. We dealt with it right there. We leave. 99% of the time, we'll take care of it. But like the chief's mess and the first class mess and the ward rooms and and all the other branches have their respective areas. And I think, and that's the thing too, is like when you leave, you got to remember they're still there. It's just you don't see each other every day. So you don't know that people are still there. I had Tim Bray, thank you, Master Chief, retired. I had Tim Bray hit me up the other day asking me if I was okay because I posted something online, which is the opposite of something bad. It was something that was actually good. You know, I don't even remember what the hell it was. I just remember it was like, oh, I posted this because I was happy, not because I'm sad. And he's just like, oh, okay, cool. Just checking.
Just checking.
Because appreciate that, you know? So shout out to you, Mr. Bray. But, you know, that kind of stuff's really cool.
It's interesting on Facebook, just to mention like a quick group, but they have like the VA group, right?
There's a lot of them.
But there's one main one, and there's people that post like, oh, I'm having a hard day today. And you can just see veterans, just veteran after veteran or family member, whoever's part of that group, just rallying to talk to them. And
Spent Brass Podcast has one like that. So and the Drinking Bros, They have on their main thing, there's like a lot of different groups. It's really cool where people are just do that. And if you're a part of any of the vet groups and you're just like, hey, I'm having a bad day. Yeah, some people might feel like a drama queen, and some people are going to be like, yeah, you are being a drama queen. Some people are drama queens.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got to identify some people do have bad days, even the fucking drama queens.
Yeah.
So yeah, is there that, anything
that's
else?
That's a human thing.
You guys want to
plug? One thing
is
I'd like to invite you to come and do your thing, Josh, here at a local inpatient rehab hospital that we work with.
Yeah.
We have a 4,000 linear foot art installation with 20 adult trauma survivors, quadriplegics, paraplegics, burn survivors who have, you know, challenges and this sort of thing, who have manifested incredible art. I'd like to give you a tour of the ninth floor. And also possibly you would speak to the group of the newly injured and, you know, share your amazing, beautiful, articulate, funny self. That would be fantastic. And maybe we could get Patrick to come up.
I'm not funny at all.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Can I have a cool book signed all Dixon?
Oh, it's.
I'll bring you a book.
Absolutely. All right.
There's already some in it.
No, but yeah, I'd love to do that. I miss Beaver, dude. He was such a good guy. So, you know, we're the guy who took his life when we were in, we were in three together, you know, and it just, you know, so that's just him. Man, there's so many people that we wish we could have reached out to before. Malik, dude. Sean Malik was a catalyst that did it. He was like funnier than I'll ever fucking be, you know. And he was an Air Force veteran, and he just went through a lot of shit. And he was part of my little group, you know, because he had like this little group of comics, and you know, we're part of like a non-group because everybody was kind of clicked off, and we just had our own like just a few comics that hung together, and you know, and there's that thing where it's just like if you can get into people before they make that drastic thing, you know, which is cool, and that's why I'm really happy you guys do that, and that's why I do this, because nobody realizes how lonely it is after, because you're going through a thing and you're with a lot of people all the time, but they don't know what you're going through, and then a lot of times where you're in, it's you're going through these things, but you can't talk about them because it's gonna stigmatize you and put you in like a box, and realistically it's not, but you think it's going to. So it's never bad to like talk, especially now because they're trying to destigmatize all this other shit. And then we had just a shit ton of suicides just in Norfolk, and I fucking love you, Virginia Beach. Took really good care of me for 6 years, you know, and that's the thing where we gotta
stay connected. Don't just connect once, like if the person has an issue
right.
And now they're better possibly, don't just forget, because some people have an issue later on.
Well,
relapse or whatever, and then
it's a lot like medication. You know? It's just like if you are supposed to take certain medications. Like I'm scared of head meds because I've seen them try my lung meds so many times. Like, hey, well, no, we'll try this. No, we'll try this. No, we'll try this, and then somebody kills themselves. I'm like, rest in peace, Brody Stevens. You know what I mean? That's how that shit scares me. But still, the contacting other people, that's like
it's the best medicine.
You should still do it.
It's the best medicine.
If you have to put it in your phone every 3 weeks on a Wednesday, do it, you know.
And again, if anybody wants to like write their story, they're experiencing transitioning from the military, go to my website, operationcivilian.com or .org, fill out a thing, contact me, and write a story, and then I'll prove it and
you know,
share it with the community, you know, because somebody else is going to benefit from that.
Yeah.
You know, not just you telling your story, but the people reading it.
Hell yeah, man.
Yes. So. And like you said, you're not alone.
No.
They're not alone. And you're heard. And we're here to support and empower you. To be together with you.
Yep.
I know I'm grateful for all of you guys. I couldn't be here without you.
Well, I know, because this is a comedy story. You can't come in without me. No, I'm just kidding. I know you're mad. I'm just fucking with you. All right, so anything else you guys want to plug or anything else? And thanks for coming down. I really, really, really appreciate it. So
thanks, Josh.
Come on, man. What's up? That website. What's your website?
Operationcivilian.com or .org.
Okay.
You can go to either one. Read the stories. Leave some comments. The stories probably weren't good at the beginning, but I think they're getting better as my writing improves.
Fucking garbage.
They're probably garbage. But they're not just five tips for whatever. They're my experiences and, you know, the tips and things that I think are good for people transitioning.
And what was that again?
OperationCivilian.com.
OperationCivilian.com or .org.
Yeah.
So you got both? You own both?
I own both.
That's smart.
Like, nobody's taking
that. That's smart. Because you know how many times people like my buddy Adam Dodd had to buy his name back? Somebody had AdamDodd.com or something, so he had to pay like a grand or something for his own name? Yeah. Like, son of a bitch.
No,
it was like George Ringo or something. I don't know.
And then there's also there's a Twitter. Also, I have Twitter and Facebook. And,
there you go.
You know, all the other social media. So check them all out.
And you know that you guys can listen to this on Spotify, Stitcher, all that stuff. It's called Civilianization on, and you can listen to it everywhere your podcasts are found.
Or you can go to my website. It's on
go to your website. Oh, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You got me there too. I'm on that.
And I'm working on getting some other veteran podcasts on there as well.
Honorable Discharge. I just did a bunch of episodes of that. And the guy Ron Ripley, good dude. He's a San Diego Comedy Store guy. There's two. There's the one up here in there's one down in La Jolla. And I was just down there doing those shows too. It's a veteran podcast.
But you didn't tell me you're coming to down.
Well, it was one of those things where it's just in and out. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like you that much, so shut the fuck up. So, there you go. I did tell you while I was there. Am I right?
When you're leaving on the way back. All right.
What? I'm just kidding.
You know
that's one thing I love about civilians would be like, these guys are so rude. Military people are like, no, that's how you talk to each other, you know?
You know what's funny? Military spouses are like that too. People do not get when me and my wife are out talking and...
Did you hear her call her a cunt? Yeah, that means they really love each other. No, that means they're the best friends ever.
Yeah, people honestly, like we were in an Uber the other day. No, it wasn't Uber. It was the other Lyft. And the guy looked back and was like, you need to be nice to her.
Right.
We're like, no, this is just how we joke and mess around, you know, because
we
just don't get it. But.
All right. So anything else? Good?
Good.
Good? All right. Sweet. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. You guys, remember, keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And always remember, Obi loves you. And we're going to be out. And Todd is the awesome dude here at the Comedy Store. Check him out, too. All right. He's shutting us down. We're going to go. We got to go. We got to go to the Rainbow. We're going to eat some pizza. We're out.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Bye. All right. We're going to cue the CB song, punk rock CB song. It's coming on anytime now. Right about now? How about now?
No.
All right. Joni Owens, Cohen's a blend. The Navy.